Well, it's a real honor for me to present my parents, Dr. and Mrs. J.R. Faulkner from Chattanooga, Tennessee. My dad was an associate pastor under a great man, Lee Robertson, for well over 40 years. And then when Dr. Robertson retired from his pastoral ministry, the church called my dad to be the pastor at Highland Park Baptist, a great church in Chattanooga. Along with that, of course, he was teaching and in administration at Tennessee Temple College, where my mother also taught music for a very long time. I don't know how long, but you all can tell them, I guess. But we are so, so pleased to have you here. Thank you for making the trip and coming to... I was beginning to wonder if y'all were going to come back, and we're just so glad you're here tonight. Come and share with us.
Well, I guess there's no end to that wire. I was going to move it. Mother, you sat down a little early. Or I have a word to say to you. You know, a year ago, this month, we celebrated our 58th wedding anniversary. Our 58th, the 59th is coming up in a few days. Now, in the meantime, we were getting a little older. In June, I was 88. And coming August 11, she'll be 91. But you know, I was just thrilled to death with these young people. And I thought, what can I say to them to encourage them? Don't grow old. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're in the wrong context. Mentally. Keep the fires of your brain burning. And read and study and pray. And commit to memory things from the Word of God. If I had studied the Word of God in my youth as you, I would be able to quote from it, much like I'm going to quote in a few moments, the things I've learned in the last few months. So, young people, let your minds be studying. You're squeezing my hand. I hope that's a love squeeze and not telling me to shut up. But a year ago, the boys sang in barbershop harmony, good old Oklahoma OK Corral harmony, pal of my cradle days. They looked at their mother, all five of them, and sang, pal of our cradle days, we're loving you always. When we were but babies upon your knees, you sacrificed everything to please. We stole the gold from your hair, and we put those silver threads there. And we don't know any way we can ever repay, pal of our cradle days. Now, when they finished singing, I had her to stand up, and I took her by the ring finger. And I had just written her a poem. I snatched an idea from an old song of years ago, and I wrote some words that went like this. When this old wedding ring was new, the dreams I had dreamed had come true. And I remember with pride how we stood side by side. What a beautiful picture you made as my bride. When that old wedding ring was new, and we stood neath the sky oh so blue, we had an open-air wedding. Your dear dad tied the knot. Now what he said I soon forgot, but I never will forget the sight of you. when that old wedding ring was new, God had given you to me and me to you. What a pair we two did make as those vows we clearly spake when that old wedding ring was new. Now that ring may lose its luster. Passing years may dim its shine. But they cannot change its meaning, for it speaks of love sublime. Love that bound our hearts together. Love that made us two as one. Love more precious than we dreamed of on the day it first begun. When that old wedding ring was new, the dreams I had dreamed had come true. And honey, I love you more today than passing years can ever sway, with a love that makes that old ring shine as new. Now I'm going to ask you to do a favor. You go to the piano and you play, and I'm going to quote some more poetry, okay? Right. Stand up, Bobby. Where is Bobby? Well, you got lost from the Faulkners way over here. You may be seated. Bobby's our second son. We have five boys, four of them in the ministry. Bobby's the deacon, but he's our artist, our family artist. Well, you know, I was told by, I still have an office at the church, and I go in every day nearly. And I got a letter, interoffice communique, saying, Brother Faulkner, we want you to write a fundraising letter for Camp Joy. Now, Camp Joy is a school, a camp that started in 1946, the same year we started Tennessee Temple University, 1946. And last year, we had counted over 100,000 children have attended Camp Joy. Now, 27,000 of those young people made some form of life-changing decision that we have record of at our church. The wonderful thing about the camp is it's absolutely free. We never charge them anything. We're not charging this year. We hope to get 3,000 children this year out of the hill country, off the street, wherever we can. And the men tell me the budget is about $170,000 for this year. And they asked me to raise $5,000 for the month of June. Well, I accepted the challenge. And Bobby, our artist, said, Daddy, why don't you take those poems you've been writing, put them in a little book, and give them to folk who make a contribution to Camp Joy. Now, tonight, we have a number of these books, a limited number, in the lobby of the poems I'm going to quote tonight. They'll all be found in this book. And if you'd like to have a copy, leave an offering in the basket out there on the table and take a book. And you say, how much should I leave? Well, that's between you and the Lord. You're managing His money. It all belongs to Him. He knows all about your stocks and bonds, your checking account, and all of that. He knows about the stock market and all the things it's doing. And so you talk it over with Him. If you love children, want to have a part, just make out a check to Camp Joy. I don't keep a penny of it. We don't keep a cent. It goes, every penny goes to those children. And just take a book. They're on the table, as long as they last. Well, enough for that. Bobby put the book together. I just wanted to recognize we have another son who's in the ministry. He's a Christian artist. Well, I was talking to Peter. Where's Peter? He's over here. I was talking to Peter on the phone. And the children, he's got three little tykes, bang, bang, bang. They're not so little now. They're bang, bang, bang. But they were interrupting. And when we finished the conversation, I got to thinking about these children, and these children of mine, and I put myself in Peter's situation, and here's what came out. They are a world of care, and I would not dare to claim that our burdens are light, for they take our time, these children of mine. We're busy from morning till night. Now living is high, and there are shoes to buy and books when we send them to school. Counting their dress and all, I confess, I'm broke as a general rule. And mama, my land, I can't understand. It seems to be part of their plan to take all her time, these children of mine, from Caleb clear down to Ann. Now when prayers are said and all are in bed, all's fine till morning, you'd think. And then Alex would cheep when mom's half asleep. Please, mama, come bring me a drink. Well, they're thoughtless at best and give a small rest, these children to whom we belong. But I've this to say that they sort of pay for their care as they go along. For folks, when they're gone and we're left alone, just two of us here in the house, with no one to call or need us at all, and everything still as a mouse, I'd think that we'd give all worlds just to live again with the loved ones we miss, and think not a task our babies could ask is too much for a hug and a kiss. Well, this we do know, as older we grow, as sure as the stars shine above, our hearts are a lake of tears and do ache with no one to care for and to love. Well, now, that's not all true. There's one thing we can do. We can take them to God in prayer. And if there's a need, their cry we can heed and be quick to show them we care. Now, he was 80 years old when he knocked at my door, and I ushered him in. And this gentleman said, I'd like to speak to Dr. Lee Robertson. Yes, sir. My office adjoined Dr. Robertson. I tapped on the door. Come in, come in. And I ushered this gentleman into Dr. Robertson's presence. And Dr. Robertson looked at him and said, Dr. Charles Weigel, what are you doing here? Oh, Brother Robertson, I came up from Florida. You know, my wife and I have been talking, and he said, we would like to spend the last years of our lives on the campus of a school like yours, where we can just rub shoulders with these young people and try to be a blessing and continue to write songs. And Dr. Charles Weigel, that conversation led to that man of God moving on our campus at Tennessee Temple and living the last 15 years of his life, writing songs and playing grandpa to those young people. And one of his great songs that all of you know is No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, how I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. My wife taught piano at Tennessee Temple for over 25 years. One of her students, Dr. Bruce Lackey, now with the Lord, wrote a transcription of that beautiful song. And my sweetheart of 58 years is going to play it for you now. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Listen, think of the words as she plays. Thank you. one ever cared for me like Jesus. Have you paused here of late just to sit and meditate and to bid your mind to think on Christ alone? How weak creatures here below may be able just to know how to let His mind be in us as we're told. Just to know the mind of Christ is our desire, and to do the will of Christ should be our goal. Just to move at His command as His will, we understand, until His glorious face we do behold. Now, there are those days when pressures wane and there's little at hand to do. And the mind says, play, but the heart says, nay. Then I know what course to pursue. For God's word doth declare that men will hear words from behind that make the way clear when we turn to the left or turn to the right. He never lets us out of His sight. Now, on one such day, I was deep in thought. My mind was far away. And it seemed as I dreamed that Jesus was near and really had something to say. So I inclined my ear that I might hear. And He whispered to me in words quite clear, come, walk with me today. Oh, well, we began our stroll and looked at the trees. And He whispered to me, I made all these, the mountains, the rivers, the beach with its sand, all came into being at my command. And then we looked at the sky, the heavens above. And I heard Him say, they declare my glory. And I want men to know I made them all in a day. And I let the earth bring forth its grass and the herb yielding seed as well. And the fruit-bearing tree after its kind in the fields, the hills, and the dell. Then I saw men at work tilling the soil. And I paused, and I heard Him say, if they had obeyed my simple command, it would not have to be this way. Oh, my mind went back to that garden scene where Adam partook of the fruit that God had said was not for food. It was only there for the look. And God spoke to that man, and here's what He said. By the sweat of thy brow shalt thou eat thy bread. And it's been so from then until now. Now, the price that men pay for the sin of that day cannot compare with that paid by our Lord. For on Calvary's tree, for you and for me, He died without saying a word. Now, our youngest son, Steve, has moved to Canada where he's pastoring. In Simcoe, Canada. I hope you'll pray for him. But he's married to Miss Judy Cofield, the daughter of Dr. and Mrs. Garland Cofield. She's now with the Lord. But the Cofields moved out to the wilderness in northwest Canada over 30 years ago, where they began the Camp of the Woods. They cut trees out of that forest and built those log buildings up there to camp. And for over 30 years, they've had a tremendous ministry. But he also made the furniture. Much of what they used in the way of furniture in those buildings was made and supervised by Dr. Cofield. And in talking about his carving, he spoke to Steve and said, Steve, you just got to let the wood tell you what you can do with it. There's hard wood, soft wood, knotty wood. The wood will speak to you. And Steve related that conversation to me. And I got to thinking, let the wood speak. So for it to speak, it had to be an object. So I projected myself into a piece of wood. And this is what came out. I was just a piece of wood resting on a forest floor, there to lie, to rot, forgotten, like my kindred gone before. Just a log, the woodsman said as they passed along the way. It won't do for ties or lumber. Leave it for another day. Then the hunters came so quietly, tired and weary from their walk, brushed me off and sat upon me just to rest a while and talk. Then a jolly little chipmunk jumped upon me while at play. And soon it looked as though he wanted just to make a home and stay. So he burrowed deep beneath me, bringing leaves and twigs and grass, all to make a place of comfort till the winter storm should pass. I was just a piece of wood, resting on the forest floor, playing host to little creatures. But could there not be something more? I had weathered many winters. All my bark was curled and flaked. Soon I'd rot and be forgotten, all my contribution made. Then one day, there came a carver with his axe and saw in hand, looking for a wood with texture only he could understand. And pulling back my bark asunder, brushing off the dust and grime, he began to see with wonder the effects of age and time. All the winters I had weathered brought new beauty into view, beauty that would give the carver many thrilling things to do. There, beyond all natural vision, was an angel. He could see, crying out, along with others, "Get your tools and set us free." And now the carver in his workshop, with his sander, saw, and blade, freed the angels from within me, things of beauty he has made. I was just a piece of wood, resting on the forest floor, but am now a thing of beauty for all people to adore. Now, we've told the angel story, how from wood they've been set free. Let the carver give his message. It is much too much for me. Well, I'm just a simple carver, freeing angels from their den. But I once was held a captive in the prison house of sin. Then there came the master carver, Jesus Christ of Galilee, come to give his life a ransom that all sinners may go free. Oh, free at last, I can proclaim it. Chains of sin no longer bind, all that held my soul in bondage, gone forever, left behind. And with their going there came that peace of God that passeth all understanding, that keeps the hearts and minds of those who trust in him. That peace about which Jesus spake when he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Well, our last president, just before leaving office, well, he spent most of the last 2 years gallivanting around the world and sitting down with people in high places. And what were they talking about? Peace. And then our Secretary of State She boards a plane, takes off for Paris. And she sat down with two heads of state. And what were they discussing? Peace. And then she gets home in time for a change of clothes, grabs a plane, goes to North Korea. And there again, what was she talking about? Peace. Yes, much is being heard about peace these days, from the president to the man on the street. And if one wants to know how to reach that goal, just ask anyone you meet. Big men sit at tables round discussing their plans for peace, but none seem to know it's only a show, and they might as well let it cease. But there's coming a time when all will know that talks of peace are not for show. When Christ doth come in glory great, then all earth's problems will be made straight. Now listen, when Olivet splits from east to west, and the eastern gate swings wide, and a river flows from sea to sea, and none can stem the tide, they will know. And when a child takes a stroll with a lion and a lamb, and they all lie down for a nap, and the child lays his head on the lion's neck, and the lamb cuddles up in his lap, they will know. And when swords take the shape of a farmer's plow, and pruning hooks abound, and fruit fill the trees till limbs do break, with many reaching the ground, they will know. And when a lion eats straw like a burly ox, his nature forever changed, and children play on the cockatrice den, and the holy mount knows no harm within, they will know. And when Jesus sits on David's throne, and the saints and angels sing, glory to God in the highest, Hosanna to our King, then they will know. Yes, they will know. They will know that peace has come. Thunder was rolling as I penned these lines. Lightning was piercing the sky. Raindrops were falling the earth to refresh, all saying that summer is nigh. Summer, oh summer, with all its delights, vacation and travel, with many new sights, mountains and meadows, trees in their splendor, pastures with cattle and lambs oh so tender, highways and byways all leading us on to cities and beaches filled with great throngs. Some look for pleasure while others want rest, but some search for money, more funds to invest. But few seem to know the emptiness they feel can only be filled as before Jesus they kneel, confessing their sin and for cleansing do cry. Peace then will come that money can't buy. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. It fathomless billow of love. There is a peace that defies description for the children of our God, who have made their garments white in the blood of his dear Son. When redemption is accomplished, Christ has come to dwell within, and it's the preciousness of his presence that brings peace and joy to reign. Oh, 'tis joy to know He's with us, dwelling deep within our hearts, ne'er to leave us nor forsake us, as His presence peace imparts. Heavenly presence, oh, how awesome, bringing glory to our souls. Precious presence, so fulfilling, till His beauty we behold. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Now my question to you, do you have that peace tonight? Have you found that place of rest dear to the heart of God? If not, why not? Jesus paid it all just for you and for me. You must remember, folk, we're all sinners, born in sin, conceived in sin, coming forth in sin from our mother's womb. And the Word of God said there's no good thing within us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. Oh, listen. What are you clinging to for peace? What are you seeking out in this old world to try to find some measure of peace for your soul when Jesus went to the cross and paid for it? Oh, we can have that peace because of the price that Jesus paid. We can have that peace because of the promise that Jesus made when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Then in verse 27 of John 14, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We can have that peace because of the price that Jesus paid. We can have that peace because of the promise that Jesus made. And we can have that peace because of the prayer that Jesus prayed. What did he pray? "Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." Oh, dear friend, can you imagine the prayer of Jesus not being answered? Don't you want that peace tonight? You can have that peace if you'll come to him. Don't depend upon church membership. Don't depend upon baptism. Don't depend upon your good works, for the scripture said it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. For by grace are we saved through faith. This not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he tells us, "Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Have you done that? Have you repented of your sin? Or are you trusting on other things to save you and get you to heaven? Oh, dear one, if you do not know Jesus in a personal way, come to him tonight. Don't leave this building without making sure that if Jesus should come tonight, you'd be ready to meet him. Or if he should take you home tonight, you'd be ready to go. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And Randy's going to come and continue the invitation.
God brought us all here tonight. He has a purpose for every one of our lives. If you don't know for sure in your own heart that you know Jesus as your Savior, we'd love to help you with that. In a moment, we're going to have a closing prayer, but before we pray and dismiss this service, we'd like to give you an opportunity to trust Christ. It's between you and God. Every individual has to answer to God for herself or himself. But if you have never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, you can do that right now. I just wonder if you'd like to just pray a simple prayer. Open your heart to Christ and say, Jesus, I believe that you died for me. And I want to trust you as my Savior. I want to have that peace that Dr. Faulkner was talking about. I want to know that when I leave this life, I'm going to be in heaven with you where you are. That's the prayer that Jesus prayed for you, that we might be with him where he is. So I'm going to just pray a simple prayer. And if what I say in this prayer expresses your desire, would you pray it silently? Make it your prayer. Now, if you've already prayed this prayer and you know that you're saved, then pray for others, that they might know for sure that they have eternal life. But we want to close by giving you an opportunity to accept Christ into your life. If this is your prayer, just pray it silently with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess to you that I have sinned against your holiness. I have broken your law. I am a sinner. But I thank you that Jesus died for me. I trust him. Come into my life and help me to know that I am saved. And give me new life. And help me to live the way you want me to live. And control my life from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If that was the prayer of your heart tonight, and you know that you trusted Jesus, I'd love to talk to you about that after the service. Pastor Rick, Pastor Paul, Pastor Wade, any of us, our elders or teachers, are here to help you grow in your faith. Maybe God brought you here tonight so that you could have the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. Thank you, Dad and Mom, for your ministry to us tonight. We really appreciate it. And it's been a blessing.